You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
My mother never prepared me for my first menstrual cycle, and that's because I got my period at 10 years old. She just never expected me to get it so early. In fact, that morning when I saw the blood on my underwear, well, goodness, I thought I was dreaming, so I went back to bed. My older sister, you know, she really helped me out, Lisa. But you know what? We just didn't understand why I got my period so early in life. My grandmother, mother, sister, all the women in our family had it at an appropriate age, about 13 to 15 years old. Now, I didn't put it together until I started my postgraduate work in environmental medicine back in 1996. You see, the summer of 1972, that was, of course, I was a hippie child back then, and that was when there was a huge infestation of caterpillars on the mountain that we lived in Seoul, Korea. So they sprayed daily with this insecticide, pesticide, and of course, what did I do as a child would do is play in the smoke. You know, little did any of us know that what it was going to do is set off a sequence of biochemical changes in my body. And of course, what we call endocrine disruptors, pesticides are what we call endocrine disruptors. You know, out of all the four kids in our family, I was the only one that reacted because the exact timing. I was at a pre-pubescent age, and the insecticide toxicants forced my body into puberty faster. And that's why I got my period at 10 years old. Now, today we have a special guest from the FDA's Drug Safety and Risk Management Advisory Committee, Suzanne Robati. And she is also the founder and president of MedShadow Foundation and the executive director for DES Action USA. Thanks for coming on our show, our Wellness for Life show. Sue?
I'm so excited to be here, Dr. Suzanne, and especially to talk about endocrine disruptors because they are everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I dealt with it when I was super young, and this was over 54 years old, so many years ago. If not 50, what am I saying? 44. Oh, I'm aging myself way too fast. So, you know, I want to, before I dig deeper into endocrine disruptors, I really was impressed by your story. What got you so passionate about your health advocacy work? Can you share it a bit with us?
I can. Before I was born, when my mother was pregnant with me, she was given a drug called DES, also called diethylstilbestrol. And at the time, it was a wonder drug. It was the very first synthetic hormone. What they didn't know is that it is also an endocrine disruptor because they hadn't those had not existed before. They don't exist in nature. But when you've got a drug that mimics how your hormones work, then it becomes an endocrine disruptor. Because of the exact timing that it was given to my mother, and by the way, it was given to 5 to 10 million other pregnant women during that time period, because of the timing during pregnancy, it interrupted the development of my fertility organs, as it did for many other women. Some women had misshapen organs. Worse, some women had very specific cancers called CCA of the uterus and cervix. And it's all because of a drug called DES, the very first endocrine disruptor.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah. So it was important to me. It left the particular damage for me was that it damaged my fertility organs, so I could never have a child. But, you know, things work out, you grow up, and then later in life, I became active in DES Action, which was a group that helped change some laws and help educate a lot of people about diethylstilbestrol. And then I wanted to go further because I was concerned about all the drugs that people are taking and all the side effects of the medicines. You know, the endocrine disruption is a side effect of DES, and the side effect left me infertile. What are the other side effects of the drugs we take every day? So that's when I started MedShadow Foundation. And it doesn't specifically focus on endocrine disruptors, but that is how I became active, and that led to me getting appointed to the FDA Committee on Drug Safety and Risk Management. So that's my story.
I love it. You know, often whatever we are suffering from, our past, what happens to our children, our family, that's what drives us to do better and help the world in so many ways. And that's what you're doing. What I'd like to know is, I know that you're talking about medical prescriptions or drugs that create endocrine disruptors. So there's a lot of chemicals we know about, BPA and plastic. I just talked about pesticides. You're going to be talking about medical. And I mean, the medical industry, there's so many drugs out there. I'd like to know, and I know that the audience want to know, which drugs are endocrine disruptors?
Well, any synthetic hormone is an endocrine disruptor. So if you're taking a hormone replacement therapy, if you're taking progesterone, if you're taking any kind of synthetic hormone, that is an endocrine disruptor. And like with any drug, there can be good reasons to take it even if there are risks. The trouble is we don't know all the risks of endocrine disruptors. For example, you know, nobody knew about the risk of you playing in the dust of probably DDT spray and you had an immediate effect. God knows what the long-term effect is, because endocrine disruption happens when an outside chemical mimics the hormones and then it sends the wrong signal to the body, as is what happened to you, Dr. Suzanne. Or it could do something like tell your pancreas to produce insulin when it's not needed, leading to diabetes. Or it could give the wrong message to a developing fetus, which is what happened to me.
Well, when... What I'd like to...
I was just going to say...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm so sorry. Go on.
As you said, it's also surrounding us in our plastic bottles, the lining of cans of food, in many of the paints and cleaning products. So, but it's in tiny, tiny amounts. The unique part about DES was that it was given to women in massive doses, much more exposure than we normally have. You had a lot of exposure, but for a few days, I hope. And because it was given to women before any other endocrine disruptors existed in the world, if you follow those women who are given the drug and the children and the grandchildren, it's the only way you can kind of figure out exactly what endocrine disruptors can do. So we don't fully understand what they can do and how they can affect us. We're still figuring that out every day, and we do that by studying the DES mothers and the DES daughters and sons and now DES grandchildren.
Mm. I had a friend who's also, her mother took DES. And she ended up having a lot of female issues. She was able to actually bear two children. So it must be that some of it is it doesn't 100% cause infertility. But in her case, she had a lot of female issues and ultimately had to take her uterus out, have a full hysterectomy because had all these other problems later on. So, I mean, there's so many different side effects, it sounds to me, with DES as an endocrine disruptor.
Yes, endometriosis and fibroids are very common. With men, they tend to get testicular tumors, some testicular cancer. But it's true what you say. The drug affected different people differently, partly because every drug affects everyone differently. Some people need one aspirin, some people need two, some people need three. But also because of the timing of the size and the age of the fetus and the quantity of drug that they were exposed to. And that is what affects us today. What concerns scientists and doctors is even though there's just tiny, minute particles of BPA and PVC and DDT, tiny little particles that are in our food and in our bottles, they add up. It's a layering effect. And they don't know what the tipping point is. It might be that for, you know, the average person who wasn't exposed to DES like I was, but the average person, it doesn't matter because there's such small amounts. But at some point when you keep laying it on, it will. And they think now that they found now that endocrine disruptors at the right strength will affect the third generation because the germs of the next generation are already in the fetus when it's formed. So the endocrine disruptors have now been linked in DES. It's been positively linked to ADHD in the grandchildren of those pregnant women two generations ago. So imagine the consequences going forward if we don't manage this whole endocrine disruption thing and if we don't study it and figure it out.
This tells me, and the picture that I see is that even though the DS has been, they don't obviously use it anymore, but it can still affect millions of people because of how what you're saying, generations can be affected by the DES. We don't use these types of drugs, DES, anymore, but there's a lot. I mean, gosh, when we talk about hormone therapy, we've got number one, the birth control. That's synthetic.
And we're
bioidentical hormones. I mean, hundreds of thousands and millions, I'd say millions probably here in America are on bioidenticals too. So what do we do about that?
What do we do about that? The first thing we do is we try to stay healthy. I know it sounds simplistic, but please eat your vegetables. Take a walk. Try to keep your body mass index in a normal range, and get your cardiovascular system working every day, and do a brain teaser. We can only control so much. We can't stop things that are going to happen anyway. But as much as possible, if we can avoid illness, we can avoid the risk of using medicines that have endocrine disruptors in it. And in our daily lives, for endocrine disruptors that are in plastic bottles, I try not to use a plastic bottle. I don't understand the love that America has for plastic water bottles. They're not good for the environment. You don't know where that water comes from, and there could be PVC or its equivalent in the plastic. So I personally avoid it. When I want to take water with me, I have a metal can, or I use a public water fountain. They're pretty safe. What else? There's probably other ways. What do you think, Dr. Stan?
Well, you're right up that alley, Sue. I'm a big believer in using glass as a water bottle for myself. But one area that people don't realize, it's not just plastic. It's actually in the meat we eat, in our cattle.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. The amount of hormones that they juice up, the estrogens in it, to fatten our cattle up. And right now, the huge paleo, meat-eating, carnivorous, ketogenic diets that are out there, we're just eating a ton of meat. And I think that's a big problem.
Yep. And the antibiotics they give the cattle, that's not an endocrine disruptor, but it's to beef them up, also not good. You're right. If you can... I'm in a fortunate position where I can afford to spend the extra money for grass-fed beef and anti-hormone chicken and, you know, organic fruits and vegetables. And I figure I always pay more to get the cleanest food I can because I can. And if I, who can afford it, don't support these markets, these farmers who are working so hard to give us clean foods, then there's no hope because we all need these clean foods. So, as you say, if you can't afford to always buy, you know, clean beef, grass-fed, non-antibiotic beef, don't use those diets. They're going to hurt you in the long run. I don't know that they're going to hurt you. I think that there's a risk that they're going to hurt you in the long run. I don't want to overstate my case here.
But I do believe it's going to have an ill effect because it's another toxicant going into your body that's not necessary. There's even those receipts. You know, they say when you're going and you're signing your credit card receipt, yes, those receipts have endocrine disruptive chemicals on it as well.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a tiny, tiny amount, but they do. And I never accept the receipts. My poor kid, I have a nephew that my husband and I have guardianship of since he was 12, and he's now 26, and he's wonderful. But he was working in a retail store recently, and he was freaking out about the receipts. And so then he started using the what is the antibiotic liquid that you do to clean your hands all the time?
Oh yes, and Purell and all that stuff.
Yes, but that's all got chemicals in it. So he ultimately just started using two fingers to hand the receipt to people because he couldn't avoid it. And he's fine. He worked in a retail store for a year, and he's stopped. He's got another job now, so he stopped worrying about it. But you worry, and that's something else. You can just worry yourself to death. You take your basic steps. You try to live a healthful life. You be aware of what you're taking. Ask your doctor about the side effects of any medicines you take, and then ask your pharmacist again when you pick up your drugs. Get your medicines from only one source. Even your supplements and your herbal supplements and your Chinese medicines, they should all come from one source, one pharmacist, because that way the pharmacist can say that ginkgo supplement you're taking is going to interfere with the asthma medicine that you're taking. And I made that up completely, so please don't quote me. But that was meant only as an example. You know, an herbal supplement can be very powerful and interfere with other medicines that you're using. So you want one, either your doctor or your pharmacist or both, to know every single thing that you're putting in your body as much as you can.
Great. Well, tell us exactly what do you do for the FDA. I know that you are on a consumer committee, right? You're a rep for the consumer.
Actually, I'm the only consumer rep on this panel. It is Wow. the Drug Safety and Risk Management Advisory Committee, and I'm the consumer rep on it. Everyone else is a doctor, and a lot of them have multiple degrees. There's a lot of PharmDs, which are pharmacists who have doctorates. What we are charged with doing is we meet in conjunction with other advisory committees to specifically focus on the risk, the safety risk of drugs. Every medicine, every new drug, before it's approved, has to go before the appropriate advisory committee, and or if it's asking for a new indication, it's already been approved for one type of illness, but they want to be approved for another type of illness, then it has to go again before the FDA and show its research and make its case. The Drug Safety and Risk Management Committee that I'm on meets in conjunction with other committees to overlay when there's a safety issue. And frankly, we most often are called on to meet with the committee that looks at opioids. We've been meeting a lot about opioids and opioid safety products for the past year and a half that I've been on it. And there's the government's doing a lot of work on that, but the best thing I can say is try not to start taking them. Look for alternatives. Use physical therapy. Don't use it for back aches. They don't work. They don't work for your knees. Physical therapy works. It's longer, it's slower, it's harder, but it's permanent fix instead of a temporary pill. I'm wandering off of endocrine disruptors. I'm sorry, but you got
That's
me
okay.
on another hobby horse.
But you know what? I think that this is important, what you're saying. I was doing research on another show, and it was on pain control. And I found out, looking at some of the stats, 45 Americans die every day from opioid reactions, every day. So, you know what? I hear you. What you're doing is so important that I'm glad to hear that you're working on opioids as well. And then on your website, medshadow.org, what can people do when they go to your, what are they going to see on your website?
Yes. We suggest that people visit our website when your doctor is suggesting a medicine. If your doctor suggests that you try a statin or if, any drug, you come to MedShadow and we have articles on many, many drugs, not every drug. We're not a Wikipedia. We do specific health research articles on medicines, and we interview doctors. We interview people who have actually taken the drugs. We ask them, what are the typical side effects? What are the unusual side effects? If you have to take this drug, how do you manage those side effects? But if you don't, if that drug has alternatives, are they lifestyle changes? Is it another drug? Are there other things you can do? We know that side effects of drugs taken as prescribed is the fourth leading killer in America. It's just horrifying. We're dying of health. We're trying to get healthier, and it's harming us. Hundreds of thousands of people go to the emergency room every year because of the side effects of medicine. So take them carefully. They're powerful. You're taking them because they're powerful. And respect their power. Avoid them when you can.
Well said. Well said. You know, one of the things that we don't realize is regarding drug therapy, there are always side effects. And you don't know what you're going to get because everyone is super unique in their own biochemistry and how they react. You got your genetic factors. You got your environmental factors. You got, you know, your age. Your microbiome even has an effect on the drugs. So you got to be super careful.
What you eat can have an effect.
What's that?
What you eat can have an effect on
Oh, absolutely.
It's everything.
Everything can. So the less you need the drugs, the better. And more often than not, natural medicine can really be also the best way, the best route, using the food as your medicine, using herbals, homeopathics. That's what we use in my practice.
Acupuncture is very good too. I'm just going to put a plug in for it. It helped me with my chronic shoulder pain. I did physical therapy and acupuncture, and it was very effective.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So I'd like to, we just have a couple more minutes left. I'd like to ask you, what can you give us one takeaway today, what we need to do right away to help us combat endocrine disruption in our body so that we can live a healthier and happier and more fulfilled life?
Sure. I do think the one thing you can do is eat clean food and avoid plastic bottles. I think that's the most ubiquitous way that endocrine disruptors are entering our bodies today.
Well, we gotta really agree about that plastic bottle. We got a huge plastic island growing out in the Pacific Ocean that is affecting not just, you know, it's plastic obviously for humans, but the plastic's affecting our ocean, which then of course will affect us indirectly, won't it, Sue?
Yes. In fact, I read in the New York Times today that by the year 2050, there will be more plastic by weight in the ocean than fish.
Oh,
this is ridiculous. We need to
stop. That really gets me. Because if we don't have our oceans, we're definitely not going
to
survive.
Pour a glass of water. Yes.
What's that?
Yes. Go to the sink and pour yourself a glass of water.
Right.
And if you're going half an hour away, you don't need to take a plastic bottle of water. There will be water at the other end. We're very healthy here.
Yeah, I'm a big believer of purifying your water with a filtration system so that at least you can get out the chloramines and toxicants, the chlorine, fluoride, all these chemicals that are in our water, lead, it could be possibly lead. So when you do drink, get your water tested first and to see. That's what I do. And in my household and in my office, we use Aqua True. It's one of those over-the-counter water purification systems, and it works beautifully. Thank you so much, Sue. It was wonderful having you on. And if you've learned anything, something new here, go ahead and share the show with your friends and family and go to iTunes. Give us some of your feedback. Thank you so much for your support. Connect with me on Instagram or Facebook. And if you need any guidance, want to dig deeper into your chronic health issues, I can do that over the phone, Skype consultation, or you can come right into my office. And more information, go to drsuzanne.com for that contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and an ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.